A few weeks ago, I was wrapping up an interview with an English teacher and fitness instructor named Courtney Marshall in Rochester, New Hampshire. And since at NHPR we try our best to source questions directly from our audience to answer and then report back about, when the interview was over, I asked her, did she have a question about New Hampshire that she wanted answered?
Oh, wow. I'll have to think about that.
Yeah.
Well, I think right now in New Hampshire, I'm trying to find another hairdresser. That is my issue in New Hampshire. So that I'm in a state of emergency. I do not want to have to cross state lines to get a haircut.
You're listening to Word of Mouth.
Your questions answered.
Your state explored.
I'm Erica Janik.
I'm Savannah Mark.
And I'm Justine Paradise. And the three of us teamed up this week to try to answer this question. Why is it so hard for a woman of color to get a good haircut in New Hampshire? And just for the record, the three of us are not black women.
I had a Jerry curl at one point.
What is a Jerry curl?
Oh.
Jerry, I got a Jerry curl. 13 and I gotta relax.
And throughout this hour, you'll hear us and the people we interview refer to different hairstyles as men and women's hairstyles and men and women's needs. But we just want to shout out that, of course, these distinctions are arbitrary. Anyone of any gender can get their hair done however they like and not have to label it as a men or women's cut. So, since Courtney Marshall was the person who asked the question, I decided to call her up and see what an answer might look like for her.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Do you have a second right now?
Yes.
So I Googled around a little bit, just like, you know, that's the secret reporting trick sometimes, you know, this Google thing. and I saw that there were a couple places in Manchester. And I don't know if you've checked them out already or if you kind of know already that those are for you.
Well, Manchester's, you know, depending on what time of day, is like 45 minutes away.
Courtney is looking for something near where she lives in Exeter, New Hampshire.
Preferably, it would be a whole salon because I miss like Black beauty salons, kind of the talking and the magazines and the conversation.
And then another thing is if you would have the time or be inclined to do that, to like come be part of the interview process of other people.
That would be so fun.
Oh, cool.
That'd be hilarious.
So we made a plan to meet the following week in Exeter to visit some hair salons and ask them about it. We'll get back to that later in the show, but first, Courtney is not the only one with this problem.
Do you have a collection of photos of it?
I do.
This is Rosalind Chavda. She goes by Roz. She's 48 years old, and she lives in Nottingham, New Hampshire, with her husband and twin children. Their house is in a quiet neighborhood right on the edge of a pond, where she sometimes kayaks while she reads the paper and drinks her morning coffee. We sat on the couch in her living room while she showed me a photo album of her hair through the ages on her phone.
So this is... this is after my mom was like, your hair is not growing properly. She only cut it all off.
This was, how old were you?
I was, I think, 11. And so my children are like, wow, mom, that's a bad haircut. I'm like, yes, it is.
For a lot of people, finding the hair that's right for them can be a journey. Although in Roz's case, it was actually a literal journey.
For the first 4 years that we lived here, I drove to New Jersey every 3 months to get my hair done. It's about 5 hours if you leave at 5 a.m., so you don't hit traffic.
That is so serious.
It is. And I had lots of friends who were sort of like, oh, my God, you're so fancy. You drive all the way to New York to get your hair done. And I'm like, no, it's sort of out of necessity. Hairdressers up here just don't. I'm not going to say they can't do a Black woman's hair, but I want someone who has daily experience, and you know, I'm not one of their 60 clients or the last time they did someone's hair who's Black was, you know, months ago.
Roz grew up believing that kinky, curly hair was somehow inferior to straight hair. It started when she was 8 years old, when her mom straightened her hair by chemically relaxing it.
For her, this was like the best way to take care of my very, very, very tight curl pattern hair. So although my mom was a trained cosmetologist, licensed and everything, she only knew how to do hair with a loose curl pattern. So like a straight or wavy type of hair. So although my mom was a Black woman, she had no idea what to do with naturally kinky hair.
Roz's hair in her 20s and 30s and early 40s, it's straight, about shoulder length. And that was true until about 4 years ago, when she decided to stop relaxing her hair.
Because I have a son and daughter who are both half black, and I wanted them to see that unrelaxed, tight curl pattern hair is beautiful. And it's hard to tell them that when I keep relaxing my hair.
So there are all kinds of ways that women and men of color in New Hampshire are finding ways to take care of their own hair. But what about our original question from Courtney Marshall? So I did not have much of a conceit that I'd be able to do better answering this question than Courtney has done for herself. But we decided to visit two places together. The first, an inexpensive chain salon, and the second, a trendy independent boutique.
What are your first impressions?
The first place was the Stratum Supercuts, about 5 minutes from downtown Exeter. We made an appointment, and while we were sitting in the waiting area, we took stock of our surroundings.
It feels very sleek.
Got some photos on the wall, wood floors.
I looked at the magazines first to see, like, so what is the reading material people would have here? Like, there's no Essence. Like, there's no, like, an Essence magazine would go a long way.
It is all white people on the walls, I noticed.
Hey, there's this guy who's kind of...
Are you Courtney?
We sat down in the back office with the manager, Courtney Brody, and Dramessa DiNardo, who's the assistant manager at a nearby Supercuts in Dover. Do you do black hair here?
Absolutely. Yeah, we get lots of different kinds of people that come in every day, and where everyone's welcome, we'll do anyone's hair.
That's Dramessa.
What do you think a black woman might need from a salon? When you're thinking about how you say you have all people who come in all different, and you different ages, and I'm sure you probably say, well, if there's an older person who comes in, they probably need an experience that's different, that's kind of centered in thinking about them. And I wonder if that happens around issues of race.
I think that even just having this conversation has already sparked a lot more awareness in my specific salon. In the Northeast, we don't have a lot of black people that come into our salon on a daily basis. We do see them once in a while, but it's just in our area. It's just not what we do a lot of haircuts for. So in terms of like all this stuff, I know I've definitely sparked a lot more awareness of kind of like educating our stylists, like, hey, here's, you know, sometimes people come in and their hair needs to be picked out before it has a clipper go through it. And sometimes, you know, it just needs to be a metal blade to go through a specific clipper length because the hair is so curly that you can't pick it out at all.
I guess another question is, have you ever been in a black salon? Either of you?
Yeah, I have where I grew up. I grew up in Haverhill, so there's obviously more, you know, African-American black people there. So, yeah, I've been there before.
So one of the things that happens in a black salon, one, besides the music, two, are the pictures that are hanging up, the magazines that are out. So one of the things that I noticed when we came in were the pictures on the wall. And I think Justine said, like, the woman on the end in that picture maybe could be a little, we don't know, kind of racially ambiguous. So again, when I say, like, what would signal to someone that, hey, like, not you're welcome because everybody's welcome, but we kind of know something about this culture. And why should, because I say, like, well, they get magazines, so why don't I see me? So I wonder, just to what extent, like, do you get to choose as either managers or the individual stylist?
There's no general rules on, like, who, I mean, it's technically up to the managers of what they put up in their salons. We do have little style booklets that correspond with the posters that we have hanging on the wall. So when people come in and they say, hey, I want that, we can open up the book to it and say, oh, well, look, it's a number four and a blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So when you see the pictures, right, so can I come in and say, hey, I want that? But if it's not hanging up, then what lets me know that I can also come in, like anybody can come in and say, hey, I want that?
It's something that, honestly, I never even thought about. I'm appreciative. Thank you for coming here and bringing this awareness to me. So I'm going to go back to my salon and make sure we have everyone represented in my salon so everyone feels comfortable when they
walk. Well, it's like, do the right thing. When Mookie was like, why are there no brothers on the wall, right? It's so much of it is the little things. You don't want to hurt people, and you want people to feel happy, and you want them to feel handsome and pretty. But unfortunately, this is what happens. This is the experience.